Welcome to a MacGuffin Men Minisode. This episode is brought to you by nobody, because who the hell would sponsor a minisode? And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to MacGuffin Men Minisode. I'm Alex, and with me, as per usual, is James.
Hi.
Hi.
Mini wait for me to say hi on the minisode.
Yeah.
Don't drag it out like the real one.
All right. I have a quick question for you, because I feel like the answer to this question is no. But have you seen the show Happy Endings?
No.
Okay. One, I recommend it. It's funny. It's like How I Met Your Mother with all of the crap that you hate about How I Met Your Mother cut out. That's how Emily recommended it to me.
That's a great review, Emily.
Yeah, and she's exactly right. It's super funny. But anyways, the lead on the show, like, you need to watch one episode of the show just so you can see what the lead looks like. Okay. Because he looks like Magic Hugs guy. Like, almost exactly the same. And, like, with a little bit of Ryan Reynolds in there. It's
Didn't
so weird.
Magic Hugs guy look like someone else, too?
You think he looks like Nick Swardson or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he looks a little. That's who it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so gross. I thought your opinion was mine.
But yeah, no, check out. And Happy Endings is a pretty funny show. And Casey Wilson's on it. We love Casey Wilson here at the MacGuffin Men.
Sure do. Yeah. Sure do. Yeah. Does she ever play Katy Perry?
She doesn't, but she's pretty Casey Wilson-y on the show. So
good. Good stuff.
Yeah. And Alicia Cuthbert is kind of funny. Who knew?
I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. they find out how to write for her in the second season, and it's just really funny now. It's kind of like Britta. She was sort of just there at the beginning, but then they're just sort of figuring out what she can do, and then here we are.
Yeah. Oh, Dan Harmon gets a new show.
Yeah, I didn't read about that, but I heard he's getting a new show.
Yeah, Fox multi-camera setup.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are really clamoring to work with someone like that, you know?
Yeah. An alcoholic who tends to be a crazy from time to time.
Right.
Yeah. Did you ever read that Wired article about him? I think it was from earlier this fall.
I don't know.
Maybe. Or like a year ago. It was super interesting. It's just sort of like they followed him around on the set of the show and just wrote a profile on him.
He's a big baby.
Yeah. He seems kind of a baby. But yeah. We know how I feel about Dan Harmon.
I just found out for season one, I guess, when they made him showrunner, they were kind of apprehensive about someone who hadn't done that much, you know, high profile work being showrunner.
Yeah.
So they kind of told him he was going to be showrunner. And then this is what I heard, at least, in an interview that he did with Kevin Pollak for Kevin Pollak's chat show, that they also told the Russo brothers that they're pretty much in charge. And then one of the writers said that you're also in charge, too. Oh, just everyone thought they were running the show. Obviously, a lot of clashes resulted.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, what did you have that you wanted to talk about here today, James?
Oh, man, so much.
Yeah.
I guess we'll start with the funniest thing.
Okay.
Did you see Tom Hardy rapping?
I did, yeah.
You don't like that?
I didn't even watch the whole thing. I think the line of description was funnier than the actual thing.
Yeah.
It's just like Tom Hardy raps while holding an infant. Like, that's super funny.
Oh, man.
But the, I don't know, the video is whatever.
Do you remember when Tupac used to wear the bulletproof vest all the time?
Yeah.
That trend should come back, be replaced with babies. All rappers should just have babies dangling from them.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
I'm hoping, though.
Okay. That's going to be what's hot in the streets in 2012.
Baby. Did you see that video comparing the Bane voices, too?
No.
Yeah, because you remember how everyone, when the first trailer came out, everyone thought his voice was really hard to understand? And then...
Yeah, and the prologue people thought it was really hard.
Yeah, exactly. I guess someone took the audio from both of them and like played it line by line, side by side.
Oh, really?
Hear how much it's changed.
Yeah. No, it was pretty clear how much it changed, even from trailer to trailer.
Yeah, well, it was just funny because that first trailer had Commissioner Gordon where you couldn't understand him because he had just been shot.
Yeah.
And then you had Bane talking like, I don't know, some crazy Bane voice that he has.
Yeah.
Even worse than the one we heard. And then, obviously, all the jokes made about Batman being indecipherable, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the things Nolan does. Like, people are really low talkers in his movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. I like it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no,
I understand. Like, cause there was a lot of that, and people complained about that a lot in Inception as well.
Oh, yeah.
Inception's sort of his most, like, loud to quiet ratio. I guess The Dark Knight is
Dark Knight
with
was
it.
Pretty bad for that.
I wouldn't call it bad. It's just sort of, it's a movie designed to watch in a controlled environment, and I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Just in a theater or in a room where...
Where you don't have anybody sleeping around you.
Yes, exactly. Did you see the Skyfall trailer that was played at the Olympics?
The one where he parachutes with the Queen?
No, like an actual commercial.
No, there's a, like, is it a new one or is it the same, like, 1 minute one?
No, it's a new one. I think it's 30 seconds.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Very, very quick, but it looks, I don't know. I like it. It looks really, I'm excited about it.
Do we get Javier Bardem in it?
I think you do, okay. Which is not a great answer, I'm aware, but okay. Very quick, and you see some guy in shadows.
Yeah, of course, the end of the first Skyfall trailer shows him in shadows, or presumably him in shadows.
Well, this guy's silhouette had different hair than Anton Chigurh, so...
Okay, so you didn't know. No, I'm very interested in Skyfall as well. Like, I'm curious to see how Sam Mendes does a big-budget movie, and Road to Perdition is a pretty good action movie.
Yeah.
And also, having Roger Deakins shoot a Bond movie, or just having, like, the cinematographer, having him have that much money to play around with, like, I'm really, really interested to see what that movie will look like.
Yeah, and this trend of giving... kind of drama heavy directors big action franchises is very interesting to me, so yeah, to
yeah,
this does will be interesting.
Yeah, people are sort of starting to figure out that if you make the drama aspects of it good, then the action is less important. Yeah. I mean, the Batman trilogy is just a perfect example of that, because there's very few compelling action scenes in that whole trilogy, but it's a compelling trilogy.
Yeah, well, this is a good segue into... I rewatched the first Spider-Man.
Okay, why?
Because I wanted to see how to do Spider-Man 1 properly.
Okay.
And that was it. You don't like that movie?
No. I always had this conversation, and nothing's going to change. I do not like that movie.
So solid.
One of the most disappointing movies I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Picture me being like... Well, that came out in like 2002. So I am, I guess, 16.
In 2001?
No, it was summer 2002, because okay. They took out the Twin Towers trailer, right?
Fact.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, heard, no, it was just, like...
I heard Mark Wahlberg edited that out.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't get this joke.
Preventing 9/11 in movie trailers.
Oh, my God, yeah, I forgot about that. Jesus, Mark Wahlberg. But yeah, no, I was like 16, and, you know, as a child, I love Spider-Man more than I do now, and yeah, ugh, it's just not a very good movie.
I was so happy watching it again.
Good for you.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, I'm here to support you. You're allowed to like what you like. If you like a bad movie, then so be it, but...
Okay.
You know I love plenty of bad movies, too.
Did you see the Cloud Atlas trailer?
I saw that it was 5 minutes and was like, nah, I'll wait for like a 2.5 minute trailer.
It looks wild.
Yeah. I skimmed through it and saw the Tom Hanks with the like goatee and stuff.
And the shaved head in the side.
God, I love that.
Yeah, just that image alone of him looking like that is I'll pay $13 for that. Still image on screen for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Did you know about this book or what the movie's
no,
about?
No, I don't. You know, I don't read books. That's a joke. I just don't read fiction a lot.
Yeah. It's kind of got like the Fountain kind of vibe to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like several different time periods and character stories. And yeah, like, I don't know if it's, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Ah, okay. I don't know it.
Good.
What's the thing when you die and then you're someone else?
Reincarnation?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep. Good work. that's what we get for doing a podcast on a Saturday. Don't remember the word reincarnation.
You're here to support me watching movies and think of the words.
It's a creative partnership.
Yeah, but it looks like very sprawling and past and future and all yeah. over the place.
Yeah. No, it certainly has the potential to be very interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm already going to declare that it is interesting, whether it's good or bad.
Okay.
Still decided. To Fair be enough. Decided. Modern Family negotiations.
Yep.
when stuff like this comes up, and it does, you know, once in a while, what do you think when it's all these rich people arguing over money? Like, do you have any interest in those stories at all? Or
I always root for the cast.
Yeah, and I think everybody does, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I've never watched a full episode of that show, so I really don't care. It's just sort of, I know the people above them make more money than the cast, so I'm always just rooting for the cast. And that's, like, the case in everything. Like, you know, the people that own the show always make more than the people on the show. Even when Kelsey Grammer was making, like, $20 million per episode of Frasier or whatever, you know, somebody was still making more than him.
Times when that was happening.
He had a huge contract. I don't remember what it was, but he made a ton of money towards the end of Frasier's run.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of like the sports negotiations, too, right?
Yep.
It's just the people that we are more visible automatically get everybody cheering for them.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, it's unfair to the people above them, but as you said, they're making more money.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, that show is a cash cow. And if it continues to run for another like 5 seasons or whatever, then it'll be like a crazy ass cash cow. Yeah. So in 5 years, this little thing won't matter. Everybody will have made so much money that they don't care.
I know. I love how they're already talking about the anticipated 9th season.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like the show just started.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. Did you remember The Simpsons one a little while back?
Yeah, like it was sort of like the show was briefly in jeopardy because of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they asked the cast to take a pay cut, which is different than this. It wasn't arguing about future raises or anything like that. It was asking them to make less money than they had been for however long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the cast kind of said, you know, we can quit. We've been doing this for 23 years.
Yeah. And we have 23 houses each.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see American Reunion? I know it came out in April, but...
No, I didn't, actually.
Okay.
I had every intention to.
Pardon?
I had every intention to.
Yeah. I was just curious. I watched it last night.
Is it good?
Well, I never cared about that series very much. Like, to
like American Pie presents The Naked Mile, right?
To illustrate how little I cared about the series, my favorite was American Wedding, which seems to be like a movie that is roundly hated. But I enjoyed it. It was super interesting. Like, it wasn't funny really all that often, but it was interesting for, I don't know, it was like the first teen movie 10 years later that I've ever seen. And it's okay. Just sort of like the first time I've seen teen movie characters grown up. Like, you always sort of, you know, imagine what happens, but I just couldn't think of another time when we actually see them 10 years later, and I thought that was interesting.
Or sometimes we get a freeze frame and an explanation of what happened.
Yeah.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on IMDb.
Okay, that seems likely. I buy this story.
Sometimes. And I don't know what I'd been looking at recently, but you know how they have their recommended for you?
Yeah. Those are always brutal, but...
A blank check came up.
Oh, God.
So I have a question about blank check.
Okay.
Well, it's not directly about blank check, because I feel like I'd be much more qualified to answer it than you would.
Okay.
That worthy?
Yeah, I've only seen that movie one time.
Okay. So this kind of has something to do with my question then. This was one of those movies that I feel like was on TV like once a week when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
You know those movies that just seem to be on TV all the time?
Yep.
Like that and, I don't know, to me it's Blank Check and Cool Runnings were the ones that were just on nonstop in my childhood.
Okay.
Can you think of any other movies like that? Like what always seems to be on TV for you?
When I was a kid?
Yeah, or now.
Well, I don't watch a whole lot of TV now. And even as a kid, I don't think I watched a whole lot of TV. I think we had sort of like, we were one of those households that had like, you can watch an hour of TV a day type of thing.
Okay.
So I think that's part of a big reason why I watch so many movies, because movies seem to transcend that. Like it wasn't like if you're watching a VHS tape, it doesn't count. You know, so, the only movie I really think of immediately, well, the movies I think of immediately are The Rescuers Down Under and The Sandlot. And those are movies that like I owned on VHS and watched a million times. So.
I want to talk to your mom about her rules about TV policing.
Yeah, well, it's just a... Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I could be remembering
that. Better be playing off a tape, Alec.
If you're watching Carmen Sandiego, no. But if you were watching The Sandlot for the 28th time, you are totally allowed.
I don't know. Do you got anything else?
We got a listener question. We got this a while back, and we've just sort of been waiting for a place to fit it in. And
we had listeners, let alone listener questions.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll sort of start using these minisodes anytime we get like a question via email at themacguffinmen@gmail.com. This is sort of where we'll answer them. And the question came from Jordan Smith, and he was wondering our worst experiences in a movie theater.
Worst experiences at a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
I see. This is it's bad because this is one of my favorite ones, but only because I was in the right position.
Yeah.
I was with a group of people, and someone dared one of the girls we were with to throw an empty pop can just straight forward into the audience.
Okay.
So had I been the person that hit square in the back of the head, that would have been one of my worst movie going experiences. God. However, I was on the good side of things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I have one.
Okay, go for it.
This is from last summer when I saw Transformers Dark of the Moon or whatever terrible title that had. I'd already seen it. Like, we saw it together, and then I saw it a couple more times. But this guy next to me, and it was in IMAX, this guy next to me is, like, one, he was colossal. He was just a really fat, dirty guy, which is fine. That wasn't my problem with him, but it makes me hate him more now because of what happened. But anyways, like the whole movie, he would like anticipate all of the action that was about to happen. Whenever a gunshot was going to go off, he'd like raise his arms in the air. And then like right before the gunshot would go, he's like, boom, and just like yell. And I was like rocking back and forth so violently in his chair, and the whole like just it was insane. I just can't even like it made me so angry. And I told it like I mentioned to him a number of times because I'm right next to him. I'm like, can you just stop doing that? And like just no, I can't. And all through the movie, and like again, the worst part was that he was never like his timing was always off. And always just before the moment of action that he seemed to be so excited about. So he would be ruining, like, if he was actually doing it during the loud action part, I probably would have had much less of a problem with it.
Yeah.
But he's, like, right before. So it's like, oh, the tension. Is Bumblebee going to get killed? Bah, 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 says the guy next to me. And then something happens in the movie. You know, like, it was ludicrous. And the guy sitting on the other side of me, after the movie, was like, I can't even imagine. Like, I feel so bad for you. Like, that's what he said to me. He's like, I can't imagine.
That's got to be worse, bad for everybody. I mean, it's worse for you, but
yeah, no. I mean, like, everybody
in the theater.
Yeah, everybody in a 30-seat radius at least.
Like, and I love how you say he was predicting action, and your example was that when someone pulls a gun, it's gonna go boom.
Yeah,
like, he's very good at predicting. Got Nostradamus over here.
A gun has been pulled. Somebody might get shot.
This isn't a movie theater one, but I think this is my best live action theater experience. Yeah. And was worse than any movie theater experience I had.
Mm-hmm.
Madea, not the Tyler Perry one, the Greek tragedy.
Okay.
Went and saw that at Cannon Theater.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a heavy movie. It's a heavy play. Like, it's a Greek tragedy. There's a lot of children killing and just unpleasantness.
Okay.
And so it's very quiet, and obviously it's a dark theater, and it's a real, I mean, this isn't like some student performance. This is a full-on like theater downtown legit performance. And there's a woman two rows in front of me who I guess wasn't that interested in what was going on. So imagine this, a very, very like pitch black dark theater, thousands of people all just staring at the stage. And this woman in front of me, whenever she was bored and wanted to check her watch, she had an analog watch, so she could light up, you know, no day glow. She's Amish or something. And so she would pull out a lighter and flick it and hold it next to her watch. And so you get the sound of the lighter, which is bad enough, but I could see it. Everyone around us just give the worst glares, and there's no way people on stage couldn't see this too.
Yeah. Oh,
it
my
was
gosh.
Yeah, it was great.
That's funny.
Yeah. Big fan of that one.
Yeah. So I guess that's all we've got for the MacGuffin Men minisode for this week. This week on the MacGuffin Men, we're going to have an audio podcast on Tuesday about The Gray, the Liam Neeson movie from earlier this year. And on Thursday, we're going to have a video podcast about Drive. So be sure to check back on for those things. You can watch them if you're interested. You know, you can prepare for a podcast if you're interested.
And if you haven't seen Gray, I promise it's way more interesting than you think.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't interesting. So
it's not us.
Pardon?
We're busy people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, be sure to check out this podcast in the coming week. This past week, we had a podcast on The Dark Knight Rises. So if you only recently saw The Dark Knight Rises, you can check out our podcast on it. And be sure to check out our website, themacguffinmen.com, for all of that stuff. So thanks for listening.